friend. I believe I have the rabbi on the phone with me.
Good morning, Nativ.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you doing?
Good, and how are you?
I could be a lot better with Ilan here, but doing great still.
Okay, he left it in capable hands.
I hope I impress him.
All right, so this week's Torah portion is Kitisa, which basically talks about the people of Israel are told to each contribute exactly a half a shekel of silver to the sanctuary. Obviously, they're building the things, the items that are needed. Instructions also given regarding the making of the sanctuaries, you know, the water basin, the incense, so on and so forth. When Moses does not return when expected from Mount Sinai, after Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive the tablets, and he does not return when he's supposed to, when the people thought he was supposed to return, the people made a golden calf, and they worshipped it, and God proposes to destroy the entire nation, but Moses intercedes on their behalf, and Moses descends from the mountain carrying the tablets of the testimony engraved with the Ten Commandments. He sees that they are dancing about around their idol. He breaks the tablets, destroys the golden calf, and has a primary culprit put to death. He then returns back to God and says, if you do not forgive them, erase me from the book that you have written. And obviously God then gave the second set of tablets. So we just talked about, we just read how Moses, in essence, really had a lot of bravery and heroism. Because when he witnessed the people dancing around the golden calf, obviously, as we just said, he shattered the luchos. In addition, we are offered a glimpse of their uniqueness. Because as the Torah continues, the Torah tells us, the tablets were inscribed on both of their sides. Mizeh o mizeh hem ketuvim. They were inscribed on one side and the other. Now, the manner in which they were inscribed was a testimony to their divine origin, because they were inscribed not like normal things, they were inscribed through and through on both sides. And miraculously, they were not reversed on either side. But regardless, if you were looking at it from the front, or you were looking at it from the back, you were reading them the right way, which was something not humanely possible for someone to do. Now, though God is definitely capable of performing a miracle, because he can do it any time, any second that he wants, our sages tell us that he does not do them for no reason. It talks about that in the Gemara, in the Talmud of the on Shabbat. And it talks about he doesn't just do it for a reason because he decides to. There's got to be something substantial why. So what was the purpose of his miraculous form of inscription? So obviously we just finished Purim, which was this past week, which was amazing. We had so many people. We had kangaroos running around, and we had animals, and it was incredible. Even though it was March break, we still had a lot of people.
I missed it. I wish I went.
Yes, we missed you. You should have come. Next year you'll have to be there. Now, we just finished celebrating that joyous Purim festival, and the echoes of the Megillah obviously are still in our minds, and we read that when the evil decree was issued to annihilate the Jewish people, Mordechai ripped his clothing, put on sackcloth, and cried bitterly in the midst of the city. And when word of Mordechai's behavior reached Esther, then the queen, she summoned a person called Hatach, which is one of the king's chamberlains, and ordered him to go to Mordechai to learn what this was and why this was. Why is he doing this? And the Medrash explains that indeed Esther knew of the impending doom that threatened her people. She knew exactly what was going on. That she understood the reason for Mordechai's behavior. So it wasn't a deal. Why did she send that person? She knew why Mordechai was ripping his clothing and why he was sackcloth, why he was crying, because it was going to be a destruction of the Jews. But her question had a deeper significance. Since she asked Mordechai to explain to her what this was and why this was, she wanted to know the reason for the tragedy that had come upon the Jewish people. What had brought about it? Because in the entire history of the Jewish people, things had never come to such a pass. And the Midrash interprets Esther's question as a fascinating play on words, because she was saying that perhaps the decree came about because the Jews denied that Luchot, the tablets, Mizel, Mizek, Tovim, were inscribed on both sides. But if you understand this, indeed this is puzzling, this makes no sense. What does this interpretation have to do with anything? What did Esther mean by this analysis of this tragic situation? Is this a denial of such vast importance to justify the threatened destruction? It makes no sense. What is the connection between the fact that, oh, we didn't want the Luchot, we were doing the golden calf, and obviously then it was broken, so on and so forth, and now Mordechai doing what he was doing. What's the connection? It makes no sense. So Esther comprehended that when Hashem inscribed, and God inscribed the Luchot on both sides, he was conveying a very, very strong message to Jewish people, that one should never mistakenly think that Torah applies only to those who stood in front of the Luchot and saw the inscription. It wasn't only for them. Thus she asked Mordechai, perhaps we are being punished because here in Persia the Jews denied that the Torah was written from both sides of the Luchot. They wanted to become part of Achashverosh. They didn't want to have anything to do with God. Thus she asked Moses and Mordechai that question. And the Jews, she reasons, perhaps, had involved a new doctrine that Torah applies only in Israel, where they lived beforehand, to which they were able to see both sides of the Luchot, because they were privileged to see that. However, in Persia, they argued the Torah did not apply, because looking from their vantage point, you could not read the inscription on the Luchot, for it was not inscribed legibly on both sides. They thought they could not see that. They weren't there. Thus, they were exempt from Torah observance and practice. Maybe that's what they were thinking. And therefore, the fact that the Torah was inscribed on both sides, we have to remember that in theory and practice, that God gave the Torah, which was Mizel Mizek Tuvim, inscribed on both sides, and is applicable regardless of what side of the world a person resides in. It can be read from any vantage point and must always function as the main blueprint of our lives. So no matter where you were, in Persia, in Israel, and here, in there, it doesn't make a difference. You don't have to be in Israel to accept the Torah, or to receive the Torah, to look and say, well, this only applies there. And that's what Esther was asking Mordechai. Was that, why are you crying? Why are you anything? God gives us the commandments over there, and that's it. Nothing to do with us in Persia. And that was Mordechai's main example, was that no, the Torah applies to everybody. It's written through and through. It's engraved. It's not written. It's engraved, because something that's engraved in stone cannot be taken out. Something that's written, you can erase it. So that's an important lesson in life, regardless of where we are now, whether we be in Windsor, not in Israel. Torah applies to Windsorite just as much as it applies to Israeli life, or Israel, people that live in Israel. Because we are Jews and we accept God as the way that it is, and this is our Torah, our blueprint of this, our lives, and this is the lesson, I think, that we can learn from this week's Torah portion. So that is in regards to that services. We have Friday night at 6:30, and Shabbat morning 9:30, Sunday mornings at 8:15, followed by breakfast, and Monday and Thursdays at 7:15. A great day, a great way to start the day.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Rabbi, for that.
Thank you, and you'll make Ilan proud, and I look forward to speaking to you next week.
I hope so. Thank you. I'll speak to
All
you
right.
Next
be
week.
Well.
Shabbat
Bye-bye.
Shalom.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.